Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone out to our CBRA meeting tonight, January 10th, 2023, 6 p.m. regular meeting. Let's start off with a roll call.
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
And Rondi and Sam are not here yet. I haven't heard from either one of them, have you?
Uh-uh, I haven't. Hopefully they'll be here. All right, next is approval of our minutes of December 13th, 2022, regular CBRA meeting at 6 p.m.
I went through the minutes earlier. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the December 13th, 2022 regular CBRA meeting.
All right, motion by Paul, seconded by Russell to approve the December 13th, 2022 regular CBRA meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
I gotta make a correction. 6 p.m., not 6:30. Any opposed? Next, approval of claims. Approval of invoice register dated 12/10/2022 to 1/6/23 in the amount of $1,030.07.
What? Oh, I'm missing something.
What's that?
Oh, okay. Nothing. I misunderstood you. That Stalling sheet metal, that's for all the units on all of our buildings.
The apartments.
Just apartments.
Just the apartments.
And that's a regular annual thing.
Yeah, fixing filters. And
yeah. Just maintenance.
Maintenance. Yeah. Most of them are done on the Wasatch block, and I think they did get the charge.
I think all of those on there are Wasatch block.
That was cheaper than the pest control cover.
Now, the pest control was only $35. No, it wasn't.
No, it's $35.
Yeah, $35, yeah.
Okay. You're reading the bottom, grand total.
That's all the total.
Yes. Yep.
Hello.
How you doing?
Well, it's good to see you someplace besides Terrell's.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time out there at Terrell's. About every night.
Any other questions?
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we approve the invoice register dated 12/10/2022 to 1/6/2023. In the amount of $1,630.07.
I'll second it.
Okay. I have the motion by Russell, seconded by Sam to approve invoice register dated 12/10/2022 to 1/6/2023 in the amount of $1,630.07. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah.
Ronnie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay. Next. Month. For Justin, which one are we turning it over to? Justin, discussion action on the trail between Mount Pleasant and Springside.
I think it's good. Starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Justin's down there, but as you know, the executive committee of the CDRA is the Main Street Committee. They have 14 members and you have committee chairs. Justin is over that project, and along with Heidi Kelso and Molly Brotherson, and then other areas are chaired by Joyce over a committee. And I will let Joyce start, if she would, in terms of the action the executive committee took regarding the first item on their trail.
Thank you. Good evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with this information with you, because I think it's incredibly exciting that we have so much grant money coming our way for these projects. And for the This morning, the action the committee took was to unanimously approve signing the contract for the grant money to the tune of almost $1.4 million. So we're asking that you go ahead and go forward with signing that contract. Any questions or comments, Justin, not mine?
You might recall, if you look in the minutes, Justin gave another updated report on this project. He's doing this off and out for 5 years. The specific action the board took as the executive committee was to move forward. On the second page of the handout, you'll see a recap, and this is dated back in October, on October 21st. You'll see once again a recap. We've already signed the agreements with Outdoor Rec for $500,000, RTP for $250,000, a Heritage Charity with MPNA for $90,000. So the only issue we have that the executive committee brought before you is to recommend that you move forward and go ahead and sign the agreement with UDOT for the $1,390,000.
It's my understanding, right, that these are in the general plan and part of all of the plans that we currently have.
Yeah, it's on page 101 to 103 in the Monmouth Heritage Area, plan approved by the Secretary of Interior, and it's on page 32 of the general plan. I'll let Justin step forward now as the committee chair and see if he wants to add anything to that.
I think we've hashed and rehashed this project. I think we finally got to the point where we're trying to close some loops now, and so we can move forward with the easements and environmental review and move this project forward. We did have some iteration with UDOT on a few things about in-kind and things like that, and we think we've got those resolved. And so the latest and greatest agreement is what we have, and that will give us the $1.3 million to move forward with actually getting some improvements on the ground. So
are we still liable on the maintenance?
I kind of got an answer for that, I think. And I've talked to Mon about this quite extensively. The Heritage Foundation has actually got money that could maintain this for the next 20 years. Is that correct?
Well, for example, we think that the Heritage Area's done $6 million in trails. We put about $1 million in NPS money. Today I talked to former mayor of Marysville, who's also the chairman of the Heritage Area, his name is Milo Medley, about the Pine Trail, because that's kind of a real key one. And in terms of ongoing maintenance, the way they handle that, the Bureau of Reclamation does it in the other area, and then when it starts up in Elsinore and goes down, the various communities help out on it within kind. But mainly what they have is a trails committee, a Paiute Trails Committee. And this morning, for example, in the Heidi brought up the fact they have a committee that would help do that. You might want to report on what she had to say this morning.
Yeah, I think they're kind of titles the...
It'd be like a Paiute Trail
Beautification Committee, but they've got, they said like 400 followers on their Facebook that are they're pulling volunteers together to help with various projects throughout the area. As far as the maintenance goes, I guess it's two-sided. If you're talking about snow removal and maintenance that way, no, we are not on the hook other than the trailhead, which we're identifying as the park, and we remove that snow already. There's no requirement to remove snow during the winter, but it's certainly not. If somebody wanted to take their four-wheeler out, if we needed something for somebody to do, they could certainly do that, but it's not required. Upkeep, I guess, is more of...
I'm sorry, you go ahead. I didn't interrupt you.
I guess I'm separating maintenance and upkeep. Upkeep would be like a treatment, like a seal coat every few years, and Mont has committed the Heritage Area to help with the 50% match to do that. We take that to the RTP, and they cover the other 50%.
Yeah, we've been extended for 15 years. There's a special program in NPS for trails where we can do matching funds every 5 years to go ahead and go through and do that. But in terms of the ongoing minor stuff, that's a separate issue. I'm glad you separated between the five-year cycle and just ongoing stuff.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on where they're going to relative to the multiple resources we have to handle maintenance and care and ongoing use, we have, there's a newer group in town called Stampede Cycle, and they're very into finding funding and...
Would you introduce her?
Yeah, Jill, do you mind?
It's okay if I say.
Yeah. This woman knows a lot about money for trails and maintenance and things like that.
Go ahead, Jill, good to hear, please.
Thank you for having me, Jill Colby, COLBY. Can you guys hear me okay? I don't have very loud voice.
I'm not standing right there. Don't be like I do, Jill Colby.
So I'm Jill Colby, founder of Cycle Stampede. So we're an advocacy group affiliated with Bike Utah. Have any of you heard of Bike Utah? Okay, awesome. So our mission is to work with leaders of the cities, mayors, city councils, and various city departments in UDOT to create a friendly and safe environment for all types and levels of cyclists and to promote cycling in and through various cities and towns in Stampede to improve traffic, congestion, air pollution, health and fitness, and to create a better community. So in partnership with the governor, we're helping Utah communities build 1,000 new miles of family-friendly bicycle lanes, paths, and trails. So in 2017, Governor Herbert initiated the 1,000-mile campaign to build these family-friendly trails by 2027. And Governor Cox is continuing this initiative as he prioritizes active transportation throughout Utah. And in the next legislative period, Governor Cox will be providing additional funding, and he's prioritizing rural communities, especially for the concern of maintaining the roads. So there is funding for the 1,000 miles already, and there will be additional funding down the road as well. So this morning we had a meeting with Bike Utah, my Cycle Stampede, and also Mantic City. Ephraim City was invited, but the person was sick, so they didn't make it. But they are also wanting to implement the 1,000-mile program. And what the vision is, to start with, is to connect to your trail, to Ephraim, to Mantic, and then maybe even beyond. So again, the funding is there. They're increasing funding for maintenance, and they have a spreadsheet long list of resources for funding, maintenance, all that good stuff. So what we're doing going forward is we're setting a monthly Cycle Stampede Task Force meeting where we talk, where the leaders of the city, we all get together with UDOT, and basically we're going to draw a line on the map and say, we want this on your map as a bicycle path, and we want the funding for it, and move forward from there. So, do you have any questions?
I guess I'm wondering, where's it going to go from Spring City?
That's a great question.
Justin, you want to report on that?
Yeah, I recently had a conversation with Sean Kerr from Ephraim and also Cameron Thompson from Fairview, and they're very interested in looking at resources to connect Ephraim to Spring City and Mount Pleasant to Fairview. There is a raise grant opportunity out now that could possibly help fund 80% of that project.
And we're looking to apply for that money.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
so has anybody ever approached the county commissioners, and has that ever been approached? Or
Kevin
I've talked to Kevin.
And also Kevin Christensen answered that for him.
Yeah, Kevin, the last...
he brought it up, because we pointed out that you said that the county...
You brought that up.
We called Kevin that very minute. And he said, I apologize, I thought I'd reported the travel council, and he said, then he followed up on it.
Okay, because I know when I brought up the county commissioners, they hadn't heard a thing about it.
Yeah, and we've been working with Kevin as a representative and hoping that would get passed down. In fact, Kevin was here this morning at our meeting, and he actually made the motion to approve, to recommend that we approve the grant. And so I think there's just a lot of working pieces right now that we're trying to pull together with the committee. I think this is great that we can maybe...
I think we should all get together more often and set a plan.
You could get a word from Governor Cox on this, because I know it's going to be an issue too with the other cities, just the sponsoring cities such as we are, Mount Pleasant. Kind of, we're not, but we kind of are responsible for the maintenance.
Yeah.
or to organize to have the maintenance taken care of.
Yeah, we'll be...
That's gonna be an issue with these other cities too.
Put together like they did in Paiute County, and you put together a package with them, and so you have a committee that does that, and then, well, they're getting all those, that stuff together as part of this, we got, we're working with the Cox administration. But the only issue before us now is, as pointed out in this morning's meeting, we've already signed the $500,000 agreement with Outdoor Rec and the $250,000 one with State Parks. The issue before us is that Donna Bagley from UDOT has been waiting for 2 weeks to get the contract signed, because what we did, we put down the finance director as the person who had signed it. And that's what we're at now, is we're supposed to, I told her we'd call her out for this meeting to see if she wanted to forward it to me as the RDA director to sign it, or the Harry, I signed it. But right now, it's the contract's in David, in Dave Oxman's hands.
Okay, where's Spring City on it?
Pardon?
Where's Spring City on it, on the trail? Where...
Do you want to report your, all of our activities with Chris Anderson?
Yeah, Chris Anderson, the mayor there, has been full supportive. In fact, he signed the statement of responsibility for the RTP portion of the grant. So they're on board, and they're excited to get this project moving and willing to participate wherever they need to.
So this goes to the sidewalk on the south end of Spring City, the way I understand it, right?
Well, and then it goes, then it veers out and as a road widening for bicycles for the bigger portion of Spring City. So, you know, they could, rather than tearing sidewalks out, putting path there, it makes more sense to have still that pedestrian access and then have a safe lane for bicyclers through Spring City.
I just wondered. I just heard it went to the sidewalks on the south end, and then I was wondering how they was going to continue it through Spring City.
They're going to make it multi-use, like you mentioned.
So if we, you know, if we do this, if we sign this tonight or whatever, down the road, is there some way that we could get our, I don't know how to say this, so that we're not liable for any of it? Can we sign it off to the committee, or?
What we're going to give you is how it's done in six other counties that we work with, the Heritage Area. We can show you agreements they put together where they share the responsibility. The Paiute Trail is an excellent example. The one in Kane County is an excellent example. And Wayne County is an excellent example.
So Sanpete County is the only county in Utah that doesn't have bypass. So everyone else is getting on board and moving forward with the program. We just got to keep the momentum going and keep going with it. And I also would like to mention that we've had countless, we did a social media survey, and we had countless submissions of people wanting this project. And I will email, I was going to bring my stack of papers, but I forgot them, and ran out of paper and ink, so I didn't have them on anyways. So I will email them to you, but people want this project, and I know that they'd be heartbroken if it didn't go through.
I think everybody here wants the project. Our concern is that maintenance and not to be...
That's
the big concern.
The answer is putting the horse before the cart. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, in every other case, you have memorandums of agreement and put together, working with the state, working with Jill's organization,
working
with cities and counties, and you put together a memorandum of understanding or agreement, either one of them, that shows how you're going to maintain it. But you can't do any of this until you sign the agreement to accept the $1,390,000. That's the only issue that we're waiting for. UDOT wants to know if we're going to sign the agreement or not. I better know after this meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Once we've got it signed, we'll be able to tap into more funding resources with the governor. He's extending this program to make it possible for everybody.
Well, my concern is that we've been after this for 5 years now. Everything's in place. If we turn this grant down, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot for the next
I've been at this stuff. Whenever I came down here, I was a consultant to State Parks back when Natural Resources, when Gordon Hanson was governor, and Gordon Hanson was director of Natural Resources, who signed off on your parks grant, by the way. And I can tell you this, if you turn down that $1,390,000, don't ask them for any more money for a long time.
Well, and I can say that the Heritage Area will be part of those memorandums of understanding, and they've committed to that match. And I can tell you that the state, it's called Division of Recreation now through the state, but they're not going to invest in a trail and then not provide any money to maintain it.
The chairman made a good point, and he raised the same point. We could have had Sand Peak County be the applicant. Spring City was willing to be the applicant. But because it was going to be called the Heritage Trail and tied to the National Park System, which has done $6 million in our heritage area, we decided, because the RDA is the chair entity for the Marvin Heritage Area, that the logical entity to apply for it would be Mount Pleasant. It never was meant to be, quote unquote, a Mount Pleasant project, but some government entity had to be the applicant. The Heritage Area could have been the applicant, but we said, well, let's have the RDA. Now, with hindsight, maybe we should have Spring City or the county be the applicant. But we had to choose somebody. We didn't know to be candid, I thought it was highly unlikely we were going to get $1,390,000 from UDOT. But the reason we got it, part of it, was we had a $45,000 feasibility study that we did. And also on top of that, when we went through the review process, they loved the idea that it could tie into the equestrian center and serve the horses as well. And that really gave us some more points. But again, it never was meant to be a Mount Pleasant project, but some entity had to be the applicant. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Yes.
Just for clarification, I've never been against it. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing. And I think, you know, I'm telling you, you got the boat to go forward.
It'll improve tourism, yep. It'll improve how people commute, it'll attract more businesses, more residents. Like, the community will flourish with bike paths.
So other trails, is there any restrictions as to who can use it?
Motorized.
The restriction is, we funded a lot of motorized trails, and we've given like almost $250,000 to San Pete County for motorized trails. But on the restriction, he put his finger on it. It's the restriction is non-motorized, and the challenge is to keep the others off of it.
Well, that's why I wanted to,
because you're going to be still in your path already, or your trail already.
They're like the deer. They got that path before we ever came
along. I just worry about there'd be a problem with motorized and bikes on the same trail.
That is an issue.
Well, and I don't think the state, I don't think the governor, or any of these entities are going to just wash their hands of it. It's up to you to maintain it now. I don't think that'll happen.
I don't either.
It hasn't happened to any of the other five counties within the Mormon Heritage Area.
Right.
We fund the trails in every one of them.
Yeah. And especially with the 1,000 mile campaign, when they help implement the miles, they're going to keep the county set up for success long term.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
I do too. I think it's a really good idea.
Do nothing but benefit the community.
So do we need a motion or something?
Probably, I'd say so. Need a motion to approve to go ahead forward with it.
I'll make a motion to proceed with signing of the UDOT, I guess it's a UDOT contract.
Yeah, UDOT, yeah.
So, I don't know how exactly to word it, but.
UDOT grant for the trail.
For the trail, so.
I'll second it.
Okay, and the Heritage Area won't be done. We'll make sure that this is not left with Mount Pleasant to have to maintain it.
That's the big concern. All right, we have a motion made by Sam, seconded by Paul, to approve the UDOT grant to move forward with the trail from Mount Pleasant to Spring City. Let's do a roll call on it.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rundy?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay. Next is discussion action on the Cleveland Peterson Eccles Equestrian Center landscaping.
Yeah, we had a lot of items on the agenda this morning. The executive committee, including CLG grants, funding, signage, design. This particular issue was discussed in detail because it goes back 12 years. You recall that the Eccles Foundation has given us a grant for $30,000, masked by $30,000 from the Heritage Area to do landscaping for where you go into the entrance with the Cleon Peterson Eccles Equestrian Center sign down to the front of the building. Bridger, come on up, Bridger. Bridger did an application that was approved for $30,000. And it was matched. It's a $60,000 budgeted project, and the Heritage Area is matching the other $30,000. Nothing comes out of the city coffers. Now, in the course of doing that, there was another application before the Eccles Foundation for $300,000. And that application was to do landscaping on the 60 acres where we have the Skyline Eventing Trail. That's become very, very popular, and the Eccles, Spence Eccles, and came down along with Lisa last July and really liked what they saw with the pond designing. They were really impressed with it. They said, we got to spruce that up as well. Well, what happened then? They asked us, we were asked to go back and look at a study that was done 12 years ago by Utah State University. And I'll let Bridger pick it up from there, because Joe Porter and Wasatch were at the forefront of that original study. So if you'd go pick up from there, then I'll fill in any gaps.
Sure.
Quick question. Is this xeriscape, or is this going to be a lot of water requirement?
Well, that's what he's going to talk. Go ahead.
So everything we do is xeriscaped now, but that doesn't mean it doesn't require
irrigation. Some water. But.
Yeah. So there is an irrigation system down there. I don't know what condition it's in.
It's all culinary.
It's not culinary.
Yeah.
But you know, beyond the actual condition of the infrastructure of the system, may or may not be in.
Yeah, not great.
If I may, that's something we might consider in bringing that line up from the well down there, tying in a line to go to the Pocahontas for irrigation.
Maybe ought to, as the attorney say, maybe ought to lay some foundation before the Liquor takes a stand.
We're putting a fire hydrant there that will be tied to the new well. So, like, if they want to go over there and fill their water truck and stuff, so we're not using that culinary water, they can. It'll be right there on the edge of the where the road goes over to the.
Yeah. I'm just saying we could tie an irrigation system there too.
Yeah, can I pick up this? Would like to comment on going back 12 years ago, a study was done by Utah State University for using the sewer pond water, and it was in fact we had a plan together even on the time plate, but it kind of got lost along the way. So what happened is that Jim and Nancy came forward with working with Bridger and applied for a grant for $125,000, and they got it, to do a plan to look into the feasibility of recycling the sewer pond water. And the original study showed you could irrigate 60 acres. Now, we're not trying to interfere with the prerogatives of the city council and the mayor and the public works department. There's no commitment here. What they've been funded with no cost to the city is to do a $125,000 study to look into the feasibility of reusing that water. And you can pick it up from there, because you did the work on it.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was largely based on the assumptions made in the study by Utah State University 12 years ago, that there are options, less expensive options, for recycling and reusing that water other than a water treatment plant. And that's what we hope, that this $125,000 study will potentially demonstrate that there are options for
us. Yeah, and make it very clear that they're not trying to usurp authority. It's completely up to this body, when you function as the city council and mayor, whether or not you want to do anything with that study. All it is a study. And the purpose of doing the study is to have the information out there so we can tell the Eccles in Utah State we follow through on it. If you decide to do nothing with the study, that's your prerogative. Because out of that area, it's not a Wasatch's or Joe Porter or anybody's business after that.
No, it isn't.
It's only a study. So you've got a $125,000 grant that's been awarded to do the study, and then you've got another $60,000 in hand to do the landscaping we talked about. So you're going to be talking here about $185,000 in money that's available.
I've worked in several communities that have recycled water irrigation purposes, and to me, Eventually, our sewer ponds are going to be outdated, and we'll be forced to put in a sewer treatment plant. Most communities will. I've heard that from several administrations.
On page 35 of your general plan, it talks about a treatment plant.
Yeah.
Another option, but again, I want to emphasize, the Wasatch Academy, Utah State are not trying to interfere the prerogatives of this governing, your governing body, the council, mayor.
Oh, it's just.
All they've got is money for a study. If you decide to just to put it on the shelves and let it gather dust, that's your prerogative. All they're asking is you go ahead and authorize them to receive the to have the $125,000 come through the RDA to do the study.
So Jim and Nancy Colwell are the volunteers who live part of the year here in Mount Pleasant. They got excited about the possibility of recycling and reusing water. And last year, after Mont's initial conversations with the Eccles, they did a large amount of research on different water use feasibilities. And
you might want to show them that, by the way.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, got a whole stock of documentation here. And we're in contact with people from the DEQ and the Water Board. And when these, I think it was ultimately $15 million of state funds were made available to communities in central and southern Utah for studies and actual water reuse projects, they actually reached out to us and said, these funds are available. You've got a deadline. Do you want to apply for it?
And so Jim and Nancy applied.
So Jim and Nancy, under the auspices of Mont, filled out the application for this, and funds were made available. I think that Moroni has funds. Moroni got some funding. Fairview's got some funding as well. And quite a few other cities throughout some of Utah.
But again, it's only a study. You can do what you want with it afterward. They're going to have no authority after that.
Well, I think part of the value of this study to the community is that it may tell us that wastewater treatment plant is the way to go. It may give you some baseline information to work from for future plans for treating our wastewater and save us that level of investment.
Right, so I've been done.
Ourselves.
Yeah. Well, we emphasize the fact that in the general plan on page 35, it talks about water treatment. But if you take a look at the application, it says a water treatment plan, or it could be wetlands, either one.
Yeah. Or maybe some third thing, potentially. I think part of the idea here is that this study leads us, hopefully, to more funding. Mm-hmm. And as I understand, in my limited understanding of local and state governments, you have to start somewhere. And this may be a good starting point for us moving on towards a water treatment plant.
If you decide you want to do it, it's only a study that's given to you. And again, I want to emphasize, you can say thank you very much and put it on the shelf and never do anything with it. It's your call. But it's a free $125,000 study.
Well, and I can tell you one thing, in my opinion, the city is very set up on our ponds down there. We, as far as treatment, it would cost the city more money to do it versus what we've got now.
Oh, yeah.
So it would actually be a more cost onto the public and onto the people than what we've got going now.
Might well be.
But you know, but the study wouldn't hurt a thing.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Sewage water, and this has been my understanding for quite some time, eventually we're going to have to treat that water.
Yeah.
We can't let it just.
But the same approach will take, and you've got a lot of experience with it, you might well be
you've
right.
You've got five ponds down there, we're using two of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, we're years out, honestly. But I'm not disagreeing with the study, I'm just giving my opinion. Yeah.
You might,
you know,
your opinion is
reality.
Well-founded.
Yeah.
But like
I know for treatment, you got to have massive amounts of chlorine, your filter systems, I mean, all
the,
that.
That's the same. Wetlands go.
Yeah, wetlands, and then you still got to pump it. I mean, you're still going to have to pump it, and you're going to have power.
But like I say, you may, after it's done, you say, hey.
It may not be feasible, but at least you have a study to do it. I'm not.
The thing of it is, this study has to be advantageous to us. when it comes to applying for grant money or applying for some of this money.
Yeah, what it shows that you're looking at is conservation, that's a big buzzword, right?
Yeah, that's what I say, you've done a lot of grants, and you know that something like this, it really...
Conservation's a big deal right now. In fact, the fact that they were talking, well, when Jim and Nancy were putting this together, we said, can you believe that people are still evaporating water in this environment today? So that's why the studies are out there, so they give you other options you can look at. That's all it is.
I think it's a no-brainer.
Will this affect our grant that we're already applying for on our ponds and our head end or anything?
You're talking about the 50,000, no, what about all?
No, there's a...
Master plan?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's my only concern.
I think it's a whole separate issue, it's a whole separate funding. If I can, I appreciate what Sam said as far as the cost to run lagoons versus a treatment plant. There's no question that lagoons are the cheapest way to go. But if you look at it holistically, it might make sense if a wetland is a cheap way to go to free up water that you're using culinary water for now. It might be cheaper than developing more source. So I think you need to look at the big picture of how that might play into even your culinary demand and offsetting that use too. So I don't know how far the study is going to look into some of those things, but I think those are things worth mentioning, you know, how it does have a ripple effect throughout the whole community.
I just don't want it to affect the one we've already got going to. The JUV's already done as far as our wastewater plan, master plan.
It's a different deal.
And going on into getting this money for our third pond.
It was actually Ken Hoffman that reached out to these guys to encourage them to apply. So I can't imagine that if that's the case, that he would have done.
Why would a study affect that? Yeah. It's just a study.
It's just a study. That's it.
Because we're applying for one thing. So let me, this is my thought anyway, that... where JUV's going to be applying for a grant to put the liner in that third pond as part of their master plan. And then we're applying to look at doing a water treatment plant. I don't know if it caused mixed feelings there.
We're not applying to put in a treatment plant, we're just applying to look at the study.
Like I said, that would be my only concern, as long as it doesn't affect water.
I believe these were already known down. ARPA funds that they were using to do these reuse applications. It was through the ARPA fund program, which is
different than the way
separate from the typical DEQ.
Different, just two different tracks. All right. Your point's well taken.
Well, I'll make a motion that we accept the grant to do the study, the sewer. Reclamation study with Eccles Foundation. Is that how you?
I'll second it.
It's not through the Eccles. Who's that funding through?
Oh, DED. So, yeah, we were talking kind of about two different things. The money that the Eccles had granted us kind of led us into the study.
Exactly.
Led us into the grant made available through the DEQ.
DEQ. So Paul's made the motion, seconded by Lynn, to proceed forward with the DUQ grant funding to look into the sewer pond treatment. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Paul made the motion, Lynn seconded, to look into the DUQ funding for water treatment plant grant of $125,000.
Study.
Okay, roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Ronji?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Thanks, Bridget. So are you going to start that landscaping in this spring? The entrance to the road and stuff?
Yeah, that's kind of the... We haven't even talked about it beyond past... Well, we did an initial concept for that entry point, and then the initial landscaping, and making some general improvements off to the sides of the entrance as well. We submitted an initial concept, and the funds were granted based on that concept. So since it's just a concept, we have really no working parameters at this point, other than I think that we need to get going on it. So that would be the expectation of vehicles.
The only thing I would suggest is to make sure everything gets metered through water. Everything has to be metered, so I'd make sure we get with our code work, try to make sure everything's... Just because in the past, there's stuff down there that's not metered, that should be.
So, not on the culinary system, right?
On the culinary system, we have to turn in a report to the state every year what we use on it.
And everything was planned, we used to air it, how we move forward with irrigating, and what kind of system we put in place to make sure what we have down there is irrigated, so we don't have loss.
Yeah.
I mean, that definitely should be priority number one. So there definitely have to be a lot more conversations before we
getting that point.
Have any boots on the ground. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Well, that's it. I'll make a motion we adjourn and move forward to meeting.
Russ makes the motion. Somebody second it?
I'll second it.
Sam seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?